Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is there not, always something else to worry about? There is always a new monster around the corner. There is always some unknown thing that is coming down the pike. It has been this way since the fall into sin, that there is always something for fallen man to worry about. When your kids were young, it was worrying about what they would be like when they grew older. Now that they're older, you still worry about them growing older. It never goes away. On the news, there is always some evil villain to hate. On the news, there is always a new person or thing that we must be aware of, that we must keep safe from. There is always something. I remember just in 2020, after the unpleasantness happened in March, then we had the dust that was coming from Sahara, then we had the murder hornets, and then we had what was going to be the worst presidential election in history. If you watch the news, there is always something more. Not to mention what you see in the mirror, what you hear from your doctor, what you hear from your children's teachers and the like. There is always something to be afraid of. That is how our adversary, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion, wants us to be. He wants us to be afraid. He wants us to have anxieties. He wants us to question whether, in fact, God is good, as it was from the beginning at the fall of man. Did God really say? Is he really good? Are you really able to eat from every tree in the garden? Our devil, who prowls around, prowls around. That is to say, he does not make a frontal assault. He does not come knocking on our doors. He is off in the distance. He is in the shadows, so that we can fear him, so that we can hear his sounds, so that we can wonder what will come next. Like when you are home alone and you hear a thud in the night and you keep listening, that is how our adversary prowls around. The goal is not just for you to have anxiety, but it is also for you to take action. The goal is not just for you to worry, but also that you would do something about it, that you would take matters into your own hands. This is not to say that we should not be prepared for what might happen, that if it looks like we're going to have a lot of rain, that we set up the sump pumps. If we're going to have snow, that we get more water. This is to say that he wants you to step outside of those regular and normal duties that you would do to be prepared. He wants you to think that you should do something else, something extra, that you should leave the spot that you're at in order to do battle with him over there. He wants to take you away from where God has put you, where you have been placed. Remember that God has called you, that you are elect exiles, and that you are to overcome evil by doing good, and that doing good has a location. That location is in your homes, as husbands and wives, fathers, mothers, and children, as brothers and sisters in Christ here, as citizens, citizens who take care of their own. He wants you to think that what you should do is leave all of this and go fight the bad over there. He wants you to leave an open door for those who can attack where you've been put, where you've been called. He wants you to leave your post, in other words. And so he prowls and he growls and he stays in the shadows in order to draw you out into his territory, where he can not only get at you, but also those to whom God has entrusted to you. Resist him. Stand firm. Stay in your place where God has put you. In other words, he says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The hand of God, the finger of God, is that which wrote the Ten Commandments on the tablets. It is the hand that wrote God's word. Humble yourselves under God's word, under what he has commanded. That is how we resist him. We resist him by doing what God has said, by doing what God has said is good and godly. We overcome evil by doing good in the place where God has put us. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, that you will be found not asleep, as we will hear next Friday, when Peter and James and John in the garden can barely stay awake in prayer for an hour. That he will find us awake, sober-minded, keen on keeping our defenses up. For we have been called to defend what God has placed in our care. And he will exalt you, finding you, finding you as completing what he has asked. And as you humble yourself, as you submit to the word of God written down for our learning and instruction, you also then pray. You cast your anxieties on him. And you do this in two ways. One is by reminding yourself of God's faithful promises, that he has called you to be his elect one in exile, that he has placed his name upon you in holy baptism, that he has promised to bring you through suffering and death into the glory that is Christ Jesus's. You cast your anxieties on him by remembering the promises of God, the things that he has said he will do, even things that he has already begun to do in us. And secondly, you cast your anxieties on him by trusting those promises, by believing them. This is why St. Paul will say, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God did not spare his own son, how will he not with him give us all things? What or who is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? St. Paul says, nothing. Nothing can. If he has done this, how will he not also do this much smaller thing? Cast your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He is the loving father who wants to know when his son looks sad, why he is sad. He is the loving mom who wants to take the daughter into his arms and find out why the tears. Cast your anxieties by remembering the promises and by trusting them. For remember that for our enemies, the enemies of our God, I should say, and such, because they are enemies of our God, they are our enemies. Our enemies have no hope beyond what they see right in front of their face. They have no hope beyond the bottom line, beyond the next election, beyond whatever it might be to make this place, this fallen, dying world, to be better. Not so with you. You have a hope outside of this world, in eternity, kept in heaven for you. You have a hope that is unfading. Undefiled. Believe in that. It is true that we are living in Babylon. Babylon is the place in the ancient world where all the bad happens. Now, granted, there are lots of good things that we can see with our own two eyes. Just look around you tonight, and you will see them. You will hear their voices. These are good things. But this pales in comparison to what shall be ours together when he comes back to vindicate our faith, to prove that we were right for trusting, and that our hope has not been in vain. So greet one another always. Perhaps not with the kiss of love, but at least with the acclamation that we say every Easter. Remember that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.